Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. It's Friday. Time to stock up. That means one-stop shopping. You may be someone who enjoys an import, someone who enjoys domestic beer, maybe a microbrew. Well, Brewers Outlet has them all. Maybe you like a wine cooler, water, soda. They have plenty of those. Great selection. Snacks, no issue. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And a little added touch is the pickle bar, which I think is second to none. This guy loves the barrel and the dill pickles. Without question. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 16, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you on board today. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, next half hour. And Mike Lang, the voice of the Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins at 4:06. Other than that, another slow day here at the Radio Ranch. We welcome in Sean Carey, the genius behind it all.
I don't know about genius, sir, but great to be a part of the show on a beautiful Friday. Going to be a phenomenal weekend, too, and an early happy Father's Day to all the dads listening.
Yes, to all the dads out there listening. Happy Father's Day to you, without doubt. The Pirate game is over. It's 2-0 Cubs in the third inning. Jake Arrieta is pitching. For all intents and purposes, the game is now complete. Oh, I'm just kidding. Or am I?
Well, his numbers don't lie. Leads you to believe, yeah, that's an automatic win in the bag for the Cubbies.
10-1 with a 1.86 ERA. They've already scored two runs. Other than that, no big deal against Francisco Liriano. The Pirates are slumping right now, so that is the issue. Moved Andrew McCutchen down to the third spot. Let's get to the U.S. Open Golf Championship. They are finally closing in on finishing round one. And the players that played this morning have to go right back out. Because you reverse rounds from one to two as to who plays morning and afternoon. So, for example, Andrew Landry, who's the leader at 400 par, he might not hit a shot today. I think he'll get some in, but he shot a 400 par 66, the lowest opening round ever at Oakmont for a U.S. Open. Dustin Johnson, not only a 300 par today, but you know what Dustin Johnson did not do today? He did not bogey a hole today. He had three birdies and 15 pars. Lee Westwood at 300, shot 67. Scott Piercy, 268, along with Sergio Garcia. Shane Lowry. Henrik Stenson is at 1-under. He just finished. The amateur, Scotty Scheffler, is at 1-under. Kevin Streelman, good tour player, 1-under. And Bubba Watson at 1-under, along with Danny Lee, who's at 1-under. The last time they played at Oakmont, Angel Cabrera won it. Angel Cabrera shot an even par 70 today. Keegan Bradley is at even par. He's now playing his last hole, which is 9. Daniel Berger won last week, the Rookie of the Year last year in the PGA Tour. And he won last week at Memphis is at even par. The very talented Russell Knox at even par. Harris English at even. At 1 over, Brandon Steele, Jim Furyk, Jeff Ogilvie, Adam Scott at one over.
Yeah, I was just watching a little bit of it on FS1. Adam had a couple of opportunities to go below par and whiffed on a couple of putts.
Zach Johnson, Masters and Open champ, one over. Bryson DeChambeau at one over. Matt Kuchar, who bears a lot of watching in this tournament, one over. Group at two over includes Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth. Group at three over, let's see, Brandon Grace is in that group. Phil Mickelson bogeyed his last hole when he missed, hit it in the fairway, hit it on the green, and then three-putted. He's at four over par. Jason Day shot 76, six over par. Rory McIlroy shot 77, seven over par. Kevin Foley, the Penn Stater, shot 75, five over par. And T.J. Howe. T.J. Howe was at six over at one point. I got to find him here. He was at six over. Let's see.
That's what I see. Still at six over.
Still at six over?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Yeah. And he must be near the finish of his round, right? Yeah, there he is. Six over. He has to play the ninth hole, which is his 18th. So Howe's has a chance to shoot 76, and Foley shot 75 today. Not bad. And again, the Pirate game is, for all intents and purposes, over. As soon as the Cubs got a run, that ended it. I'm just kidding. Not really. You heard the commentary by Dan Patrick on the NBA final. Goes to a seventh and deciding game. Steph Curry's wife tweeted, "It's rigged." Okay.
Yeah, all I watched was the first 6 minutes of that game last night, and Cleveland was already up double digits, and that's all I needed to see. At that point, I went to Copa America and watched the soccer.
You saw it all. It's done.
Yep, that was it. All I needed to see.
It's all you had to see. Boy.
It reminded me of that Monday night when you were calling the Penn State-Indiana game in the Jordan Center, and it was the same night of the national championship game, and Notre Dame was down early three touchdowns. I was in the stands, and I had the headset on listening to you and Dick Girardi, and you just said, "It's over."
I did say that because we had it on the set in the back of the booth, and I glanced back and like... It's a Dick. It's over. And Dick's like, and Dick, you know, Dick, done. He says, Notre Dame, gone. My broadcast partners have their own way of communicating, as you well know. So, but they'll go to the seventh game. You know what? You play the regular season, you win 73 games, and guess what it nets you? It nets you the championship game on your home floor. That's what it gets you. That's what 73 wins essentially got them. Yeah, it got them notoriety, it got them the record, the whole thing. It's a great accomplishment. But in the end, the most important thing winning 73 games did was give them home court for the seventh and deciding game. Because it gave him the best record in the league. LeBron James was great again last night. Enough, you know, like I said, you know how I feel about this legacy stuff and the constant kind of, we have all this concentration on legacies and report cards and things like that. Like, I understand every game is a game-by-game report card. But unless you're around athletes, you're around a practice, you're around a game, you have contact with people, you talk to them, you see it for yourself in person, what's going on, at least have some sort of feel for it. just can't sit in the studio and just start, you know, hell, and do this and this and this. Well, you know, get your hands dirty. Get out there. That's why all this have to keep it moving legacy talk and things like that. It's just so, I find it so boring. As I mentioned to John Saraceno yesterday, I just find it so inane listening to some of this stuff sometimes. You know, what will this do for his legacy? You know what? What about the other 11 guys? Kyrie Irving, for example, has never won a championship. Kevin Love's never won a championship. Richard Jefferson is in the twilight of his career. He hasn't been in the finals in years. All right, Tristan Thompson. I mean, it's not just LeBron trying to win his third. You know, there are other people. And once you win, they can't take it away from you. They can never take it away from you. Next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And 4:06, Mike Lang, the voice of the Stanley Cup champion, Pittsburgh Penguins. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. We go now to the back of the station in a cubicle. A man in a suit dancing to that. Oh. I feel like I just took the audience and sent them down a bad path.
Flashback Friday.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're going to start getting calls from people regretting hearing that. Oh, the visual was just awful. Oh, my goodness. I apologize to the audience for that. But you know darn well he was doing it. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. As they finish round one of the U.S. Open, they're going to go right back. They have to get something to eat. They are allowed to go back out to the range and do a quick warm-up, and then they have to go right back out and play. So that, you know, that's, and the people who played in the morning yesterday, now, Pete Kowalski from the USGA sent me an email this morning, and he said that sundown's 8:45, twilight probably goes by the boards at 9:10. So there will be players that will be able to start their second round late, but they're probably not going to be able to start till maybe, I don't know, 7:30 maybe, 8 o'clock. Then they have to finish their round tomorrow, and then, of course, there's a cut. So I don't really... this tournament is really backed up right now. And they had a problem this morning, by the way. They sent an email. The USGA sent us all an email this morning saying, you know, let people know. This was this morning at 7 o'clock, 7:15, that the gates weren't going to be open at 8. They weren't going to open the gates. Then all of a sudden at 5 of 8, nope, okay, we're going to open the gates now because of the conditions, course, parking lots, things like that. Well, it just made you sit back and say, wow. But they will not have a drop of rain the rest of the way, and neither will we, by the way. We're in good shape for a while here the next few days. How about the Russian track and field team, the entire Russian track and field team? Banned from the Olympics. Tennis, everything. The Russian track and field team out of the Olympic Games. I mean, they couldn't have done that back in the 80s with the East Germans. Did you really think they grew them that big? I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. You ever see these Germans back then?
You do bring up a good point. Which dope samples would stand out more, these or way back then?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, way back when would have stood out in a heartbeat. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, the Russian team is out. No Russians for track and field. You know, there are other sports they'll be allowed to compete in. But track and field, they are out. So, I mean, and this is the entire group. See, again, this goes back to why should everybody always have to pay for the sins of a few? I don't understand that. Look, the people who ended up testing positive are the ones that should be out. Say, if you're completely clean, why should you be penalized? The IOC is scheduled a summit of sports leaders next Tuesday to address the difficult decision between collective responsibility and individual justice. Okay? Great. There's nothing like having an absolutely corrupt group like the IOC tell you how they came to decisions. But they banned all of them, and I think that's wrong. Look, you have individualized testing. Okay? Test them all. Tell me who passed, who didn't. You didn't pass? You didn't pass? You know, your sample is positive, you're out. Your sample's negative, you're in. Although, now remember, this is a joke. Okay? Friend of mine in Chicago, said this to me. The X Games, this guy doesn't like the X Games. And every time he sees me, he always kids me about the X Games all the time. So he doesn't like the X Games. He says, if you test negative at the X Games, you're shunned. Like, I said, how can you say that? I mean, how can you say that? Oh, he says, but you don't have glaucoma. But hey. But the Russian track and field team out of the Olympics. I'm sorry. I just don't like this collective responsibility thing. If Sean makes a mistake, I want him suspended. I don't want him to look over and go, Sean made a mistake, you're both out. Why? Excuse me. Oh, Sean, stop laughing.
The suit said, no, you said Sean, not suit, Sean. Win one for the suit.
The day that happens is the day we're all going down to the abyss.
Sunbury Motors Ford is so close to their goal of selling 101 new Fords in June. But time is running out. The only way to get there is for SMC to put the pedal to the metal and give you the best deal of any Ford dealer in a 100-mile radius. 101 vehicles sold means you'll save more money than ever before. SMC is where you want to be because new Fords are discounted to the lowest price possible. Plus, they'll give you more for your trade. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 45 new Escapes starting at $19,880. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 123 new Ford trucks with F-150 starting at $23,749. Stay over 11 grand. SMC is where you want to be if you want 0% financing for up to 60 months on Fusions, Edges, Escapes, Explorers, and F-150s. The June goal of 101 new Fords is within reach at Sunbury Motors Ford. But they know to get there, they have to put the pedal to the metal. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Temperature's going to get up into the 80s. Heard Alex say we might get to near 90. Well, that means it's time to crack open a cold one. Wine coolers, water, and soda. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Snacks, and the pickle bar is second to none. Love the dills, love the barrel pickles, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. This day in sports history, Tony DeFazio a few moments, to be followed up by Mike Lang next half hour from the Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. 1943, Joe Cronin, Hall of Famer for the Red Sox, played shortstop, pinch hit a home run in both games of a doubleheader against the Philadelphia A's. You know, Joe, we're going to give you the day off. I may ask you to be a pinch hitter each game. 1960, Ted Williams hit his 500th career home run. 1971, Cubs shortstop Don Kessinger went 6-for-6 against the Cardinals. 1976, it was announced that the NBA and ABA would merge. The Nets, the Indiana Pacers, the Denver Nuggets, and the San Antonio Spurs all went to the NBA. 1994, this is the day that O.J. Simpson, in the backseat of the white Ford Bronco, went across Los Angeles with Al Cowlings at the wheel. Slow speed chase, finally arrested at his home, charged with the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. Have you watched any of the ESPN documentary, the five-parter?
Yeah, it wraps up tomorrow night. They've been really getting into some graphic video that for a lot of people never seen before.
Right. They have. I mean, it's very, very good. I think it's very well done. Naturally, of course, ESPN thinks it's the best thing since Gone with the Wind, but I mean, it's very, very good. And in 2012, Dale Earnhardt Jr. won at the Michigan International Speedway, his first win in 4 years and 143 races. The documentary is excellent. It's extremely well done. They put a lot of hard work into it. There are some parts of it that I find to be fascinating and there are a few, you know, there's a couple of tangent sidebars that you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like anything that's going to be 8 hours worth. You're not going to have masterpiece all 8 hours. But I think they've accomplished all the goals they want to. It's really, you know, they put a lot of hard work into it. It's really well done. There was a scene in, I think, part three where they show Simpson being let out by the sheriff's department from his vehicle. The guy in the yellow jacket, that's my cousin George.
Okay.
So if you happen to watch it again at some point, some rerun, that's him.
Okay.
Let's see. That is this day in sports history. Stanley Cup champions. How about that scene in the Boulevard of the Allies the other day in Pittsburgh? Huh? We bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, what about that?
Well, it was madness. It was, you know, it was madness. It was nice because there was not any... You know, there were no issues, and sadly enough, when you get a large crowd together like that today, that's the first thing we hope. You know, we cross our fingers and hope nothing happens. And this was one of the better ones. It was complete joy. I mean, I think that a lot of these fans had written the Penguins off, and so to see this come to fruition, it's funny because as disappointed as everybody was that they couldn't win it at home. The fans decided to have their own party and kind of just do it by themselves. So, the Penguins fan base is never going to compare to the Steelers, but there is something about a hockey fan base. I think it's true in most towns across the country that a hockey fan base seems to be a little bit more, dare I say, a little bit more knowledgeable, a little bit more grounded as well. And they feel like they deserve it when their team wins, I think. I think that's another way to look at that. Hockey fans feel like they've been in it for the long haul and they deserve it. That's probably true with some, not true for others. But it was a nice scene, no question about that.
The USGA this morning, right before, I don't know, about 7:15, said they weren't going to open the gates today.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden about 5 of 8 said, okay, we're going to open the gates. How tough was that in the area to try and figure out what to do and what not to do? And there are certain parking lots, I guess, that aren't open because of how soggy they are.
Well, you know, it's funny because we've got three different guys covering this event. I'm not one. I'm actually not on site this year. And, you know, some of the guys are on there, you know, I thought they'd be enjoying it. But based on the weather yesterday and that message today, let me just tell you this. I got a mad rush of phone calls and emails and text messages saying, you know, now what? What are we supposed to do? What's going on? So, yeah, that was definitely kind of crazy. I guess that they, you know, probably reacted the other way based on a panic. I don't know if there's a better word to use, panic setting in amongst a lot of people. So this really hasn't gone. It couldn't have gone smoother the last time they were at Oakmont. That hasn't quite been the case this year for a variety of reasons.
Well, that's going to change, though. I think the way the weekend's going to be beautiful. So I think that part will turn out to be great for everyone. The Pirates, Tyone pitched great the other night. There are a lot of people saying, look, bring Glasnow up now. Is there a little sense of panic in the fan base, a little disgust?
Well, they're taking on water right now. And to be honest with you, you know, the roster as it is right now, you know, there's no help coming. I mean, you know, Garrett Cole is out until at least July, perhaps a little bit longer. Francisco Cervelli is out until at least August, perhaps a little bit longer. So unless they can get some help, you know, listen, Juan Nicasio and Jeff Locke are kind of writing their own ticket right now. Locke had a great start about three starts ago and has been not just bad, but has been terrible. You know, neither guy have given their team a chance to win, and you can't, you know, be a playoff team with your fourth and fifth starters not even giving you a chance. And that, you know, that's really where they've been. Now, you know, the fan reaction is, well, Glasnow, even if he does struggle, is not going to be worse than those two guys have been. And quite frankly, that's, you know, the fans have a point. It's not often that the fan base has a point, but that's a, you know, that is a legitimate point. Mm-hmm. They had talked earlier, Steve, about perhaps Glasnow, you know, in a perfect world, starting out in the bullpen in the major leagues and just getting his feet wet, kind of like David Price did, you know, several years ago. And I just don't know if that's an option now. I don't know if the Pirates can survive the next, you know, 2 to 4 to 6 weeks. By treading water, and then when they get their reinforcements back, if they're going to actually have a shot, I just don't know that they can survive. And when I say survive, I mean survive as in the context of a playoff team. They're not going to lose 100 games. They're not going to go, you know, 2-36 down the stretch here now. But I just don't know that this team can survive as a playoff team based on the way things have unfolded.
Yeah, right now they would not be in the playoffs as it plays, and they've got a couple of other teams in front of them right now in that race. But this is only game 67 coming up this afternoon. McCutchen goes down to the three spot, which to me is where he should have been the entire time. But, again, I'm not married to analytics. What kind of hole is in his swing right now? Because it doesn't seem like he has the same snap at the bat that people think.
He doesn't. This is as long a slump as he's been in. I mean, he had a season about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, where he hit, I think, 259. And, you know, the thing was, you could see the McCutchen that we'd seen before during that whole season. You know, you could see it. Sometimes the hits just weren't dropping, or sometimes, you know, he was just, you know, struggling here or there. But you could see it, and you could feel like, you know, the old McCutchen was there just trying to break out. Even early last year, when he was fighting the knee injury and he was really struggling, you could see the old McCutchen trying to break out. You don't get that sense this year. I think you talk about the two spot versus the three spot. I think he has fought that two spot a little bit. I'm not saying that he was pouting or anything like that, Steve, but I just don't think, for whatever reason, he ever felt comfortable there. Whether it's a mental thing or not, it really doesn't matter. The fact is, right, he didn't feel comfortable there. And he even talked like he didn't feel comfortable, even though I think he tried to convince himself maybe he was. So is that enough to break him out of it? You know, that's a great question, because really he has been the weak spot. Now that Cervelli's on the DL, the catcher is certainly the offensive weak spot, but, you know, McCutchen had been the guy who was really bringing up the rear, and that's startling for this lineup to say that, but that's exactly what it's been from the get-go through now.
How tied are Clint Hurdle's hands right now in terms of the options he has? You know, there's only so many moves you can make with what you got.
Well, you know, yeah, that's just it. I mean, certainly, you know, you've got to think that he would like to see Tyler Glass now on the major league squad, you know, and that possibly could be one option. Nicasio, you'd think, could help the bullpen a little bit, although his first outing in the bullpen didn't go very well. He gave up 6 runs in the 12th inning in a loss to the Cardinals. That's not exactly what you're looking for to improve the bullpen.
No.
You know, but again, people talk about catchers, Steve, and when you lose, you know, Elias Diaz was there to be their third catcher this year. He got hurt in spring training. He's a ways away from playing baseball again, let alone being at the major league level.
Right.
And he only has a handful of at-bats there. You know, and then you lose Cervelli, and yeah, Chris Stewart's a very good backup catcher. Very good backup catcher is not a starter. And now you're left with Eric Kratz, a guy who's a borderline major leaguer, splitting time with Chris Stewart, and it is a huge, huge drop, and I think it affects the pitching staff as well. So, you know, one injury like that to one position, just a couple of dents, can cause, you know, the domino effect to take place, and I think that's kind of what we're seeing. And obviously they're not helped by the fact that their best pitcher, Garrett Cole, is out, and they're still waiting for Francisco Liriano to regain some type of form and at least be a solid pitcher. He's not, you know, he hasn't been anything like an ace, but he hasn't even been solid this year. So you talk about a perfect storm helping a team like the Penguins win a championship. This has been a perfect storm the other way. Every weakness has been exposed, and here the Pirates are flailing, just trying to stay 500 right now.
Let's give Tony credit. We had him on the show last week. He predicted Andrew Landry would be the first round leader at the U.S. Open, and I have to give you credit. I said, geez, he missed 5 straight cuts. He goes, no, he's... And Tony's words were, Steve, trust me.
That was off the air, but I appreciate you bringing that up.
Hey, anytime, friend. Anytime. Credit where credit's due.
Fantastic.
Tony, have a great weekend.
You do the same, Steve.
Thanks, man. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report.
Someone had to get it. Glad it was Tony.
No offense. Not even Andrew Landry thought he'd be leading the U.S. Open. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Next half hour, Mike Lang of the Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. Looking forward to next week. Should be a lot of fun. I've got the Steakhouse Spikes and Cutters start tonight up at BB&T Field. So, got a lot going on.
Yep, as soon as we're done here at 5 o'clock, your police escort will be waiting for you at the junction of I-99 and 26.
Hey, look, I always have to make certain determinations. One of them is I've got to always somehow remember that the police escort is in front of you, not in back of you.
Dial it back. Behind the cops.
Okay. A message from this station and the ad council.
That's why we're here. Proud to serve.
We just want to make sure everybody knows that we just try to pass on really good advice.
And it's at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Safety first.
Yay. All right. let's check that Pirate score. We predicted it was over in the third inning with the Cubs up 2-0, but has it changed in any way? And let's see. You know, are we wrong about this or are we right? Still 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth.
and the Cubs are threatening, the game's over. Yankees play Minnesota tonight. Let's see, who do the Phillies have tonight?
Phillies tonight be starting a four-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and that includes day games on Sunday and Monday afternoon as well from Citizens Bank Park. Then after that, Phillies will start a long road trip. They'll be out for about close to 10 days. They'll be going to Minnesota, then they'll be making their first trip to the West Coast for the season. They'll visit San Francisco and then Arizona to finish out June.
Nice and easy. Seattle's at the Red Sox, Toronto, Baltimore, Arizona, and the Phils tonight, by the way. And it's Morgan gets the ball tonight for the Phils, and Ray's going to get the ball for the D-backs.
It was tough sledding last night, giving up Toronto with five home runs last night. Rough for Aaron Nola last night.
Yeah, it was. Robbie Ray gets the ball tonight. Robbie Ray is not on a roll. But then again, neither is Adam Morgan. But he did go 6 2/3 with a no decision against Washington. Not bad. Last time I actually pitched decently. Chicago, the White Sox at Cleveland, Atlanta's the Mets, Colorado at Miami, Giants at Tampa Bay, Yankees at Minnesota, Cincinnati at Houston, Detroit's at Kansas City, Texas at St. Louis, with the Angels at Oakland, Milwaukee at the Dodgers, which means Vin Scully's doing the game tonight, and Washington at San Diego. That's the Major League Baseball schedule coming up for today. So I'll get you up to date there. And Game 7 is Sunday night. Steph Curry fined $25,000 for throwing his mouthpiece, which hit one of the co-owners of the Cavaliers. He said Curry was very polite and could have been nicer about it. Now, if he'd thrown it and hit the official, boy, would that put the NBA in a rough spot. He didn't, so it's irrelevant, but still. And Steve Kerr got fined $25,000. Curry's wife not fined. Just she initially put up a tweet about rigged in a seventh game. She quickly took it down. That dog on Twitter.
I actually found that last night right before going to bed. Then I went to double check it. Yep. She got rid of it. But before she was able to get rid of it, it was retweeted 20,446 times. And it was liked 16,005 times. It was posted at 11:37 last night. And her father, they had trouble getting, it was just a bad night all around, not just for Golden State, but for the Currys.
Father got into a fight.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him into the stadium. They saw he had the right credentials and everything on, but they thought he looked a little suspect. They're questioning him a little too much.
Yeah.
That's my son-in-law out there playing. Can I go watch him?
Where's your son-in-law? Yeah, sure he is.
Right. Yeah, Steph won't get suspended for Sunday night's game, but wouldn't it be funny if she did, if she'd be across the street in the O2 Coliseum in the, in the same suite where Draymond Green was?
If my late father-in-law had said, I want to get in, I want to see my son-in-law announce, who's your son-in-law? Steve Jones. They'd all look at him and say, are you sure you want to do that? We're just trying to do this for your protection. It's like I said in an interview recently, Jeff Tarman, you know, how many games has he been with you? And I said, I don't know, probably 700 basketball and all the football ones. I said, that poor tortured soul. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. That'll make Jeff feel better. Imports Domestics Microbrews.